Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
First John, and there's some truths I want to share with you. I want to do a little bit of preaching this morning in a real way. There are a lot of people that are confused and they don't understand that once you get born again, you got it. Amen. You can't be unborn. God doesn't abort his children. You can't jump out of the family of God, of the hand of God. You were saved by mercy and by grace to start with. And you don't have to, you weren't saved by your own good works, and you don't have to do good works in order to stay part of the family of God. And if you have that mentality where I don't know for sure that I'm saved, I don't know for sure that I'm born again, you'll never be used of God, because the devil will come and he'll sit on your shoulder and he'll implant himself in your heart. He'll do the best he can. He'll discourage you. Man, you're not even saved yourself. What right do you have to witness? So this salvation, it's a no-so salvation. That's what we find in the book of 1 John. And get a little bit of vision. 7 billion people on this planet. 326 million, almost 327 million people in our United States of America. Almost 9 million people in the state of Michigan. The Upper Peninsula, 311,000 people. 38,000 people in Chippewa County. And 7 or 8 out of 10, out of all of those peoples in America, no longer have a church affiliation. I'm telling you, the culture in which we live, although it's a Christian foundation, it is a pagan culture. We need to understand that. And we are called of God to be the church of the last harvest. And we're to get as many in the lifeboat as we can. We're to throw out the lifeline, and the lifeline, his name is Jesus Christ. You need to know for sure that you are born again. If you don't know for sure, get it settled this very morning. And I want to give you 10 evidences of being born again found in one book. Now, we could go all over the Bible, and I can give you parallel scriptures and line upon line and scripture after scripture to illustrate that it teaches all 10 of these points. But we're going to stay in the book of 1 John for the most part, and so that's concise and it's together, because there are 10 points. And some of you are already a little bit worried. So the preacher takes 5 minutes with each point. Man, that's a 15-minute sermon. So I'm not going to do that. 1 John, would you stand with me, please, and let me read just a couple of verses by way of introduction. Here's the aged John the Apostle, John the Revelator. This is before he's on the island of Patmos, before God gives him the book of Revelation. And the theme is a no-so salvation. Okay, I want to say that again. If you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, it is a no-so salvation that we have. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life. Please, God doesn't want you to walk around in a fog. God doesn't want you to walk around in confusion. In fact, confusion and chaos and deceit, that's the work of the devil. That's a false teacher. That is the father of all lies. Just the opposite with Jesus. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Father in heaven, we know that the book of 1 John, you deal with the deity of Jesus Christ. The fact that he is our everything. And if we would just trust his word, if we would just trust what the word of God says and come to know Jesus as our Savior, this life would just be a whole lot easier to live, knowing what's going to happen when we get to the end of this life. God, I pray for every child of God, those that are born again, they made a decision for Christ, they did repent of their sin, but because they aren't following God, because they're not bathing in the word of God, they doubt their salvation. God, would you clear it up for them this morning? And God, for those that think they're saved and they're not, clear that up for them that they might get born again. And Lord, for those that have never heard the gospel and they're going to hear of Jesus this morning, we pray that this would be the day of their salvation. And we'll thank you for everything that is accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I stand before you this morning, I got to be quick, and tell you this. I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven. I know it. I know that when this life is done, every once in a while I got chains, you know, some pains in my chest, and they go, old people kind of get that way. What is that, man? Is this it? You know, I know one day I'm going to, apart from the rapture, which I pray comes first, I'm going to stop breathing. And when I stop breathing and I leave this life, you got to know this. Pastor Tim Rader went to heaven, but not because of his own good works. You say, and I know some are probably watching and are thinking, there you go, there's that Baptist thing again. Who would have the audacity to think they're going to heaven? I would reverse that on you and tell you this. No one is going to heaven because of their own good works. Who would have the audacity to think they could keep the Ten Commandments good enough in order to go to God's holy heaven? Who would be audacious enough to think that you're going to get to heaven on your own good works? That is a lie of Satan. Not by the works of the flesh are we saved, the scripture says. It's by Jesus Christ that we are born again. I know I'm going to heaven because of the mercy of God. I know what the Bible teaches. I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God. I'm going to heaven because at one time, at some point in my life, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to God's heaven because of his righteousness, not because of mine. That's how it is. I pray that whatever time I have left in this earth, I said this in Sunday school, and I prayed this in the middle of the night last night. God, would you keep me alive until the sound of the trumpet? And God, I don't want to just exist. I want to be on fire for you. I want to be the one that is right up front and pounding forth the truth. And we may only have days left. We may only have weeks left. We may only have months left. I don't know for sure how much time we've got, but I know this. I want to be on fire for God. You know why? Because I owe him everything I have. And I'm not, there's no audacity when I say I'm going to heaven and I know I'm going to heaven. I know what the Bible teaches. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, and I'll end with this morning, and then I get to my 10 points. You say, preacher, you got to get started in those 10 points or you'll never get done. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might, what's that word? Know. That ye have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. It is a, you feed your faith and your doubts will starve. You're a Bible student and you're reading the Bible and you understand the Bible says over 400 times there's one way to heaven, it's Jesus, and you have nothing to do with it. You just repent of your sin as a sinner and ask Jesus to come into your heart and you're born again. And Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Jesus said, all that the Father giveth to me cometh to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I have him in my hand. He is mine forever. I'll never abort him from the family of God. I'll never abort him from eternal life. He is mine forever. I'm saved by grace. I'm going to heaven because of the righteousness of Christ, which I do not deserve. But there was a time and place I trusted him. See, preacher, 10 reasons I know I'm going to heaven. And I've thought this through, and there's only one reason. His name is Jesus. Better title for the message is 10 Evidences of Salvation. And they all better be there. When you're born again, you got it. Do you backslide? Oh, yeah. You know, you get in the flesh sometimes. That happens. But you got it. Number one evidence. I thirst for God. When I got born again, God quickened my spirit, and he gave me a desire for God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, here it is. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There is a desire to be with God. Matthew, and think on God's things and focus on God's things. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I take no pleasure in evil. I take no pleasure in wickedness. When I hear of something that's going wrong in a brother or sister's life, man, I don't relish it, not one little bit. It breaks my heart. I take no pleasure in fact, when I fall, when I stumble and I get away from God, there is no desire to stay there. I thirst for God. One evidence of being born again is you love the Father. You love the things of God. The wells of this world do not satisfy. The drugs of this world and the morality or immorality of the world, it does not satisfy. The monies of this world, they're not enough. There's nothing in this world that satisfies like Jesus. I tell you, one big evidence of being born again is you thirst for God. Evidence number two, look at chapter 2 in verses 4 and 6. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even so as he walked. Every once in a while, in my visits, I'll run into somebody who says, oh yeah, I got born again, and oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I just backslid. The first thing I wonder is, man, I wonder if they really got born again. Because a Christian will be miserable when they fall into sin. I mean, they'll become hateful. They'll get tired of themselves. They'll hate themselves. You talk about a messed up, conflicted life. Just like it described Lot in the old days. He vexed his spirit. That is a child of God that gets mixed up in the world. There's evidence number two of being born again. Miserable in sin and the Holy Spirit, he just don't let you go. Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 and 8. You step out of line, you get spanked. God just takes care of that because he loves you. He's not a permissive parent. He loves you. He'll give you a free will, but he's going to correct you. That's an evidence of salvation. Number one, I thirst for God. Number two, I'm miserable in my sin. Number three, the world is never enough. I already said this. When you drink of the wells of this world, they do not satisfy. You spend your whole life getting a certain amount of money, and you finally get that certain amount of money. I'm over here, guys. You finally get that certain amount of money, and when that happens, it's empty. There's nothing there. That's what Solomon the preacher declared in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, man, I experienced all of those things as king of Israel. There's nothing there. That's a lie from Satan. And you wasted 40 years or 50 years of your life getting this one thing that's paper mache, that is not real. The world is not enough. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. The world will never satisfy. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. World's not enough. Not once you taste the presence of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The world has nothing that can compare. There is no loves in this world that compare to the sweet presence of Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing like being with brothers and sisters in the Lord. The world is not enough. You know, tractor pulls and stock car races and those kinds of things, a lot of noise. I know a lot of debauchery going on too there, there as well. You know, I know, I'm just like everybody else. The fact is, though, the world is not enough. Not at all. Evidence number four of being a child of God, being born again, is the Holy Spirit is my teacher. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 20 and 27. But you have an unction of the Holy One, and you know all things. Look at verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. We can look at chapter 5, same book, verse 20. It tells us again the same thing. An evidence of being born again is you understand Bible. The Holy Spirit teaches you the word of God. You read the scripture and it makes some sense. You read and every cult has been started because they were started by unbelievers that read the word of God. And the natural man receiveth not the things of God, it tells us in Corinthians. So the natural man, because the natural man can't understand the word of God, the unsaved man doesn't have the Holy Spirit living within him. The unsaved man doesn't have the Holy Spirit as his teacher. The word of God just kind of has just a few words in you. And that's why there's so many people that think there are so many interpretations to the Bible. And I want to tell you, that's a baby thing to say. That really is childish. That tells me the Holy Spirit is not your teacher. The scripture is of no private interpretation. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know, there aren't two interpretations to the Bible. There aren't three. There's one. You study the word of God with the Holy Spirit as your teacher, man, the light turns on. Holy Spirit illuminates it, and there it is. And man, that's a wonderful thing to crack open your Bible all by yourself. I remember when this first started happening in my life. Crack open my Bible all by myself. There's no preacher there. I don't have the pastor here. And I'm reading the Bible, and I never saw that before. Man, that makes perfect sense. It's amazing when the Holy Spirit is your teacher. That ever happened to you? That's an evidence you're born again. You're not reading into the Bible? It's right there. It's right there and you understand it. Evidence number five. I look forward to the rapture. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. There's an evidence of being born again, and that is I look forward to the second coming of Christ. You know, this pandemic thing, God in his mercy fired a shot across the bow of the old ship Zion to wake the church up. To help the church to recognize last days, to help the church to realize that average apathetic Christian to open his eyes and say, whoa, this could all turn on a dime. You know, a microscopic germ infiltrates the greatest nation on earth, and things could have got a whole lot more shut down before it was done. You know, and the mightiest nation on earth with the mightiest military can be brought to its knees. I'm telling you, take away communications. I can paint all kinds of scenarios. I have no doubt understanding how the man of sin is going to walk on the stage of the platform of the world and say, I'll deliver and the whole world will follow. The world is filled with sheep. You know that, don't you? You know, and once the church is gone, we are in the last days. And I think this pandemic, and I know there's spiritual wickedness in high places. And I know that, and I'm not all into conspiracies. I think people are puppets and the devil's at work in spiritual wickedness in high places are at work, and not everybody knows what's going on. But I'm telling you this, Jesus Christ is coming soon. And it just reminded this old preacher, when I saw all these things happen, I thought, wow, this is amazing. Look at America. This is amazing. If Jesus were to return today and the church was gone and millions of people were missing, this world's ready for the Antichrist. Ready right now. We are the church of the last harvest. I look forward to the rapture. I want to hear the trumpet sound. I've been a warrior all of my life in standing for God. And I want to be up front. I want to be the one wielding the sword. I want to be the one leading the charge. I'm still there. I still got that passion within me. But I got one eye looking to the heavens. I want Jesus to come soon. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. If that makes you a little bit nervous to hear your preacher say that, I'm telling you, you better get in the boat. And you better get on fire for God. And we are quickly running out of time. I look forward to the rapture. You know what? Someone that isn't saved isn't going to look forward to the rapture. Oh, man, I don't want Jesus to come. I got plans. I have things I'm going to do. And besides, I don't know for sure that I don't really have that faith. I don't know for sure I'm saved. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Just write it down. 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. I'll read it fast. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, they're made known, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now the scripture here, the verbs here in this passage, in the Textus Receptus, are in a constant, continual sense. What these two verses are saying is, I'm not correcting the King James, that's what it says. What these two verses are saying is, the man and the woman, they can habitually practice and continue in their sin. And they're not miserable with that sin. They are not born again. And he says, this is how you know who the children of God are. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. This is who you know who's real and who's not. Here's a guy over here that practices sin. He said he was born again, but he practices sin. Now, he could be a backslider. He could be in danger of the sin unto death. Or he could be somebody that was a false profession. They never repented of their sin. They never got saved. And they can live in the world and relish the world and love the world. And there's no conflict. There's no vexation of spirit. Man, they're just in love with the world. If they can live there, that's because they're not born again. That's what the evidence of salvation is. You don't stay in sin. You may stumble into it. You may fall into it. You may have a weak moment, but you don't stay there. You don't roll around in the slop, not in the pig pen. I mean, you get up and you get back to God. It's like the prodigal son. You get back to where you're supposed to be. There's an evidence of salvation. No longer a slave to sin. I'm on number 7, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. I got to tell you, I had trouble with this one. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Chapter 4, verse 20 basically says the same thing. I remember my pastor preached this and preached this text, and I had trouble with it because I wasn't sure I loved Bud. I had a little brother that used to tick me off on a regular basis, and he knew how to stick the knife in and twist it, and he knew he was the goody two-shoes, and Mama thought he was right all the time. He was the good. Why can't you be more like Bud? And I mean, oh, you got to be kidding me. Mom, here's what he did. I honestly, as a young teenager, I struggled with this. The preacher said, if you don't love your brother, then you're not born again. And I'm sitting there in a pew thinking of my brother Bud, and thinking, oh, man, I wonder if I'm really saved. Now, the truth is, I did love him. I just didn't know it. I'd go to bat for him. I do go to bat for him often because he's got all kinds of issues. and I love him dearly. And if you don't love your brother and sister in Christ, that's why we go to church 3 times a week. Amen. I love being with you. Amen. I look forward to it. God bless you. I love the brethren. That's real. That's an evidence of salvation. Man, I want to see you. I want to shake your hand. I don't want to hug you, but I want to shake your hand. And once you're my brother, you're always my brother. Sometimes you backslide, you move away. Lee Howard walked up to me this morning. He moved. He lives down in Traverse City right now. And he walked up. I actually saw him coming across the parking lot, Lee, but I didn't recognize you. Where are you at, Lee? All right. I didn't recognize you. I thought, man, I probably should know that guy. I thought, well, that might be a preacher that's on vacation because they don't wear ties when they're on vacation. And I saw him walking up, and I did not recognize. In fact, Lee was the farthest guy from my mind until he got this far away from me, and I looked into, and I saw that same stupid look in his eyes I always used to see. I love you. I do, Lee. All right. And it came, he started to say, I bet you don't. Lee, how you doing? You know, good to see you, Lee Howard. That's a brother. We love one another. That is an evidence of salvation. By the way, if there's somebody in the family of God you have ought against, you better get it taken care of. And if you can live with that burr under your saddle, there's a problem. If the burr's under your saddle, if it's under his saddle, that's another issue. But you make sure it's not under your saddle. There would be a problem. Evidence of salvation. I love the brethren. The devil doesn't love the brethren, but we that are born again, we love the family of God. Amen. Truly do. Number 8, the Holy Spirit assures me of my salvation. 1 John 3 and verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Romans in chapter 8 and verse 16. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know why the preacher can stand up here in the pulpit on Sunday morning and say, I know that I know that I know when I die I'm going to heaven. There is no doubt. You know why that? You know why that is? Because the Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I wonder how a person gets to their deathbed, and I've been by many of them, and their last few words is, Pastor, it's okay, I know, I'm not afraid, I know exactly where I'm going. You know why they have that assurance? God's Spirit bears witness with their spirit. I know I'm saved. That's an evidence of salvation, that the Holy Spirit bears witness with you. 1 John 5, 2, I've gone to the last two evidences here. Evidence number 9. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. 2 Corinthians, would you leave the book of 1 John for a moment and let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's a verse that gets quoted a lot. Sometimes we don't quote the whole thing. And verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is a big evidence. There's been a change. That change, that new creation is the fingerprint of God on our lives. Tim Rader, I thank God. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I know there's been a change. The old Tim Rader, a lot of you would not even like. Hard for you to believe that, but you would. You would not like him because he's selfish. He's very prideful. He thinks he can do everything. He's a guy that thinks his way is the right way and the only way. That's the old Tim Rader. The new Tim Rader is a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, born again. By the way, Paul said to the church of Corinth, examine yourselves to be sure you're in the faith. Make sure you're saved. I'm giving you evidences. None of these evidences save you. These are all outgrowths of what actually happened on the inside, what Jesus did. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Brand new. Old things are passed away. Those old loves and those old desires. Behold, all things are become new. Again, this changed life. Oh, it's a big evidence. Man, why don't you go drinking anymore? What happened to you? Why don't you hang out with the guys anymore? Why don't you come out on Friday night and bar hop anymore? Why don't you tell dirty stories anymore? Why don't you listen to this song? Why don't you do those things anymore? New creation. And that changed life is the city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. That changed life, man, you're different, is the fingerprint of God upon your life. And it bothers your unsaved buddies. It bothers your unsaved friends. You see, if you can drink with them, they're not bothered by that. But the fact that you're different now, you go to church on Sunday night? Are you kidding me? I love my Lord. I'm a new man. I love my brethren. I would like to introduce you to them. I can't get enough. I thirst for God. Man, I want more. I can't get enough. There's no way. Verse, the 10th evidence, the very last, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, I got to get back there, and verse 14. This is big. I just took it in chronological order as it came in the book of 1 John. This is something I probably wouldn't have preached as my last point, but I wanted everything to flow, and here it is in the letter written by John. It says in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We worship a living, prayer-answering God. One big evidence of salvation, this on a personal level, God answers my prayers. Does God answer your prayers? Prayer is big. The Bible tells us we are to pray without ceasing. We are to be a constant attitude of prayer. It is where the battle is won and lost. These are the frontline foot soldiers. There is nothing harder in the Christian life than prayer. You say, well, what about soul winning? No. Prayer is harder. We all got, at least I do, some kind of spiritual ADD. Man, I have trouble. I pray for 10 minutes. I think it's a long time. In the middle of my prayer, I'll get right into it. 15 minutes will go by and I'm praying, or 10 minutes will go by and all of a sudden I'm thinking about something else. And my mind is wandered. And God, the Holy Spirit, has to capture my mind and bring me back. Prayer is a discipline. Man, prayer is hard work. Prayer was the one thing that turns the devil's face pale. There was a man named Praying John Hyde. You've heard about him before. Pastor Josh preached a great message on him. 50,000 answers, recorded answers to prayer. John Hyde, not a great preacher, a great prayer. 30,000 of those prayers were answered on the very same day that he prayed that prayer. Amazing. We have a prayer answering God. Has God answered your prayers? Does God answer your prayers? That is a great evidence of being born again. Let me give you a little commercial. God bless the hardworking men and women that come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night and pray for the ministries of this church. God bless the men that show up on Wednesday night still wearing their work clothes, and they come to pray for their brethren that are too tired to pray, or for missionaries around the world, or for difficulties that are going on in people's lives. I'm telling you, the boiler, the thing that makes everything happen here at Fundamental Baptist Church, takes place Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we get on our knees, and there's no more blessed time than to hear the brethren praying all over the auditorium. Man, we spend an hour, sometimes short of an hour. We come together, we share our prayer requests, I give you a little Bible lesson, and we scatter around the auditorium and we pray. And that's when things start happening. That's when all hell takes notice. That's when the Holy Spirit gets bullets for the gospel gun. Because people are bringing people's names to the throne of grace and praying for their eternal soul. They're praying for their preachers. They're praying for the ministries of this church. God bless the people of God. Has called us to prayer. It's all over the Word of God. Go to Matthew chapter 6. It's all over the Word of God. He said, pray without ceasing. Man, all over the Scripture, we are to be a people of prayer. And there's something about corporate prayer that makes all the difference in the world. Evidence of salvation. God answers my prayers. He does. He hears me when I pray. He answers my prayers. 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. I'm done with the 10 evidences. Let me just read this by way of tying this all up. Real simple. Wouldn't it be terrible to get to the end of this life, slip into eternity, and all of a sudden feel the flames of hell, and open your eyes in the fires of the damned, and hear the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, and you knew the facts. You knew how to get saved, but you never were born into the family of God. You heard over and over again. Maybe you heard it from mom. Maybe you heard it from dad. Maybe you heard it from the preacher. You knew all about the gospel. You could quote the Romans Road. You knew all kinds of the hymns by heart. You could sing them while you were here on this earth. You carried a Bible into church. You came to church periodically. Maybe you came to church regularly, but you were never born again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This is it. That's what John says by way of inspiration. This is it. This is the record. God has given to us eternal life. Not the end of the statement. And this life is in his Son. It's Jesus. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Can it get any clearer than that? He isn't mentioning baptism here. He isn't mentioning church membership here. He isn't mentioning religion here. He said, this is the record. God has given eternal life. He's the only source of eternal life. And that eternal life is in his Son. And he that has the Son, that's Jesus, hath life. That's it. Let's read on. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the theme of the book of 1 John, that we would know that we have eternal life. All through this book, we have been given 10 evidences of salvation. There's one reason, Jesus Christ. There's one lifeline, his name is Jesus. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, you need to take Christ as your Savior. If you're watching by way of live stream, if you're here in the auditorium, if you're listening to a radio broadcast, there's one way, his name is Jesus. And if you are not sure of heaven, you need to come to Christ today.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.